come and join us in the fight. Though the enemy be all around us, we shall not be put to flight. By faith we know we have the victory, and no matter what the cost, we will fight to rescue hopeless sinners. Not a soul must ever be lost. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen. All right. Well, God bless you all. OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. The church is located, the meeting house is located where the church meets, in Northfield, Minnesota. This secret studio here is somewhere south of there, hidden deep, deep behind enemy lines, as one other person put it. And we are in the Southern Command Center, like Alex Jones likes to talk about. I'm not an Alex Jones fan, but it's funny. I hope you're doing well out there today, and you are actively serving the Lord, being faithful to God, and in the fight. It is a fight daily. And the greatest fight that you have when you wake up in the morning is in the mirror. That is the greatest fight that you have, is in the mirror. Man, the bridge is up. Man, now it's not finished, but the bridge is up. Right? The bridge is up. Oh, I'm arguing with some antinomian here. I don't know why I even get into it with some of these characters. I should just let them go. Most of the time I do. But, let's see. Hang on a second. Somebody said this in a post: a faith that demands one's fruit as the chief basis of assurance is neo-Romanism. Well, it's kind of colorful language. Funny story. But here's the thing that I said. I said, it sounds like an antinomian to me. And they said, oh, do more, try harder. I said, nothing to work for. Christ paid it all. We work because we love. That's why. That's the basis of serving the Lord and being faithful to God. Christ already paid for everything on the cross of Calvary. But if you think that's a faith that's a dead end, you're a lost, dead, wicked sinner on your way to hell. And yeah, I'm shouting because it makes me mad. I can't stand people that have this faith that goes nowhere. It's just some old dead thing they carry around, like some stinky dead raccoon that's in their purse somewhere or in their backpack somewhere. Smells a little bit, but doesn't produce anything in your life at all. Makes me sick. I can't stand these people, man. I just can't stand them. There's nothing worse than someone preaching a faith that doesn't change someone. My goodness, what in the world did you get saved from then? What'd you get saved from then? Right? What'd you get saved from then? Nothing? Didn't get saved from yourself? Didn't get saved from sin and wickedness? Didn't get saved out of a life of hell? What'd you get saved from? Hell? That's what you got saved from? Just your eternal destiny changes? But nothing else changes? Friend, eternal life starts the day that you are born again by the Spirit of God. It starts then. It starts right then and there. And you have the power to walk in the Spirit of God. And if somebody tells you any different, they're a stinking liar, and you need to get away from them. Because it's false doctrine. A salvation that produces no fruit is, you're in a lot of trouble. It ain't real. It's not Bible faith. Bible faith changes you. Period. You didn't get changed. You didn't get Jesus. Because like one of my old hillbilly friends from Texas told me one time, if something as big as the Holy Ghost comes inside of you and it don't change you, you got a problem. Amen. Anyway. Well, now I'm finished with that rant. Hang on a second. Someone said chief basis. Yes, there must be fruit, but the chief basis for assurance is not our fruit. It's the work of Christ. The work of Christ produces evidence in your life. I'll play your game. I'm down. Let's do it. Let's do it. I love it. Hang on a second. Making everybody mad today. I said the work of Christ produces evidence in your life. If it doesn't, you're lost. There you go. How do you like them apples? Sit and chew on those for a while. I'm done. I won't spend any more time arguing with a bunch of antinomians. I hope the brother's not an antinomian, but I'll tell you what I've experienced is a lot of people like to talk like that when they ain't got nothing to show for it. We know that the atonement covers all sin. We know that the atonement is why we're saved. We know that Jesus Christ covers all. And yes, absolutely, that we believe by faith. We don't look for evidence. We believe by faith. But faith is the opposite of evidence. Faith produces evidence. So anyway. There are times in your Christian life, yeah, it's on Facebook. There are times in this Christian life that God will blind you from your evidences because you are not relying on the truth, on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're looking for evidences. I don't have a problem with that. I agree with that. Right? He'll blind you. Anyway, I really don't care if a bunch of stinking Calvinists get mad at me. Go ahead, Armenians, Calvinists. I don't care. Pick one. Pick a group. The feminists are about to get mad. And guess what? All of the Calvinists will probably get mad because most of them are lined up with these women right here that want to line up in line with them and go along with them. Except some of the old reformer guys that actually believe the Bible, that actually believe that women shouldn't be in charge of anything, that God never put them in charge of anything. Boy, that'll make me some friends and influence some people. So I don't disagree 100% of what the brother's saying. I get it. Okay? There's just a fine line. But faith is not evidence. We trust Christ by faith. That's what we do. Anyway, I don't know. We're probably just arguing past each other. It happens sometimes when you talk on social media. I'm really leery when I see these guys that they've been so predestined since their diapers since before they wore diapers that there's no evidence of it in their lives. Half of them don't have a conversion experience at all to talk about. And then they talk about all these other things. And I'm like, well, where in the world? When did you get saved? When did Jesus Christ change your life, make you a new creature, and you walk in newness of life? When did that happen? Bothers me. I'm telling you, it bothers me a lot when I see it from these guys. I don't see it from all of them, and I appreciate many of them, but I'll tell you what, I get kind of sketched out with these guys that they border on the weak side. I'll tell you what they border on. They border on John Gill's error. That's what they border on. Where John Gill went all the way over to the other side. Some of you are looking at me probably like a bullfrog in a hailstorm right now. I have no clue what I'm talking about. And that's okay. That's okay. You don't have to. It doesn't matter. It's not really pertinent to this teaching today anyway. But anyway, we'll move on and I'll stop ranting about that. But I get what the brother's saying, because I'll tell you what, if you're going through darkness, there are times that you can go through darkness. And because of that, you know, you can, that you can try to seek for assurances and you'll get yourself in a lot of trouble. You thrive on assurance, and sometimes God takes that assurance away. So anyway, whatever. We could all argue, but God's right about everything, and we'll all find out sooner or later what we're wrong about when we get to heaven. And believe me, there's going to be plenty that we're all wrong about. But praise the Lord, we can still argue about things and not get our heads chopped off yet. I'm just trying to be careful with people because, man, there's some people that I get what the brother's saying. I don't think I disagree 100% wholeheartedly with it, but I don't know. There's just I don't know any Roman Catholic that looks for assurance of anything, to be honest with you. I've never when he's saying it's a neo-Romanism doctrine, I've never looked. To be honest with you, I don't think I've ever seen a Roman Catholic ever look for assurance in anything. So I don't know where he got that from. Maybe it's one of John MacArthur's pet sayings or something, and that's where he got it from. Most of these guys just repeat what MacArthur says and all those other guys, so that's kind of what they do. But, whatever. All right, everybody. I hope you're doing well out there. Let's see who's on here today. I haven't done a roll call in a while. Let me look at the list here. Teresa was first, Daryl's wife. Mary was next. Carl Winters. Let's see. Angie is on there. My lovely wife, Hannah, is on here. Peter. Christine Sinclair. My dad's on here. Let's see. Andrea from Iowa. Hope the baby's doing well. Need to continue to pray for Andrea and the baby. Jane Brake, all is well from her part of Florida. Cindy Nelson is on here pulling the garden but listening. She's pulling the garden. Justin Money's on here complaining about my music. Gregory Pace. Fabian 22. Not to be confused with Fabio. Never confuse Fabian with Fabio. Happy birthday, Justin. You're getting old. Okay, let's see. Joe McDonald. Timothy Ross. I'm sure I'm going to make at least 10 people mad today. At least 10. At least 10. All right. Anyway, I'm not mad at anybody on that page. I just get fired up when I think about this stuff. I'm sorry. I just do because I've seen so much false doctrine. And you do got to be careful with issues of assurance. I've taught on that, too. So maybe I'm just being a little hasty. I could be. But I always check those guys to see if they're talking about antinomianism, though. I really do. So how do you like my title so far? What's the Baptist church doing in town there, Andrea? Let's see. I don't know what... I didn't see that. Comfort lukewarmness. Okay. Okay, so what do you think about that title? Is that, you think that'll grab some attention or what? I hope that it does. I hope that it grabs the attention of some. In the news, one of the most famous female politicians today, Marjorie Taylor Greene's husband, Perry Greene, files for divorce. They both had great things. Oh, she was a great mother, great person. My best friend for 27 years, blah, 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 this and that. And oh, he was a great father, and he was this, and he was that, and everything's great. They're all just good. Well, if she's such a great mother, and she's such a great friend, and he's such a great father, well, what are you getting a divorce for then? Why are you walking away from your marriage for that reason, then? Does that make any sense at all why you would do that? Let me give you a dirty little secret. Are you ready? Here is the dirty little secret. Okay? Dirty little secret is the Republican Party is full a feminist, just like the Democrat Party is. They're exactly the same. Okay? They're exactly the same. They are two wings of the same corrupt bird. They hold the same philosophies. And there is a myth out there of the female Christian politician. And here's one of them right here. I don't know if she's a Christian, I guess. Guessing she might be. Let's see if it says here. Maybe she isn't. I don't know. Let's see. Okay. Let's see. I don't know if she is, but I know Marjorie Taylor Greene says that she is. So, Sarah Palin was another one. She was a charismatic. Is a charismatic. Sarah Palin was a charismatic, is a charismatic, right? She ran for office, lost this last go-around. I think she's still running. But she's a charismatic. Okay. And she was the 9th governor of Alaska. Then she was the vice president. She ran for the vice presidency. Okay. In 2008, which, let me say, I voted for John McCain and her. So I didn't come to these convictions until right after that. The Lord impressed that upon me. I mean, it was just like right a little while ways after that, a few years maybe, right, maybe around 2010. I'm not sure. Now, obviously, I voted for John McCain. I was voting for the man. But the woman was there, too. And I thought, oh, well, she's a conservative and she holds my values. So I'm going to vote for her. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Does she hold my values? No, she doesn't. Does she hold biblical values? No. Do any of them hold biblical? Let me ask you a question. Do any of these female professing Christian politicians hold biblical values? Do they? Let me give you a chance to answer that. I'll give you a second, okay? I'm going to give you a bunch of you an opportunity to answer that. Okay? Here we go. You ready? Okay, you ready? Let's look at this. What does the Bible say? The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors, become as holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So, they are little walking blasphemers. Right? These women, like Sarah Palin, and women like her, they are little walking blasphemies. Because they literally blaspheme God by what they do. Not only are they to be keepers at home, but they are not to be an authority over men. Ever. Ever. They are to be in subjection to their own husbands. You had one thing to do, lady. One thing to do. And you don't even do that. So this lady was the first vice presidential candidate. She broke the glass ceiling, they said. And Kamala Harris, I'm going to be blunt with you. Kamala the Butcher. That's not real. That's not really her name. But she is one. Okay, let me ask you a question. in the eyes of God, is this lady successful? No, it has nothing to do with her being worldly, which is part of it, I guess. I guess it has something to do with that. No, the point is that she's a vice president of the United States of America, next in line to the presidency. Should she be there as a woman? No. Is she successful in God's eyes? No, she's a miserable failure. And so was Sarah Palin, a conservative that was a vice presidential candidate, an absolute miserable failure. She's not successful in God's eyes. She wasn't successful. Did you see what happened to her family members, her daughter, while she was out running for vice president of the United States? And then what happened? Her and her husband get divorced. What happened to Marjorie Taylor Greene? Her and her husband are getting divorced. Why? Because men don't like to be around women that are ruling. Men don't, real men can't handle it. They eventually are done with it. They cannot deal with it. I feel sorry for men that have to go to work with a female boss. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. It's a terrible place to be that God never meant men to be. See, people think these women are successful. The question I have for you is, are they successful? Does God deem any of them successful? Are any of these people really successful in God's eyes? Any of them? Is that the position that God Almighty wanted women in? Is it? Here's one. Kelly made history in 2016 with Donald Trump's victory when she became the first female to successfully run a presidential campaign. Now she serves as counsel to the president. That was when he was the president. Now think about this for a second. Here is this lady. You can see her on multiple outlets, her husband arguing with her. Her husband hates Donald Trump. She supported Donald Trump. She's directly defying her husband to do that. Directly. It's all blasphemy. It's all blasphemy. That's what it is. And they run on a conservative ticket like this lady does. And she's up there arguing with men. Is that what you want your wife doing? Do you want your wife in a bunch of men's faces arguing and yelling at a man? Right? Do you want them arguing and yelling at a man? Like a man? Up there screaming and hollering? Like this lady. She's up there toting a gun, arguing like a man. Right? Defending Donald Trump. Standing up there, and all of these people, these conservatives, and Baptists, and fundamentalist Christians, and all, they're supporting these people. They're supporting these women that are out of bounds. They are wrong with God. They are not right with God. At all, period. But they are supporting them as if they are. Well, they believe in the same things I do. Really? Think about it. Because that's what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing. And where are the conservatives? Where are the Christians that are saying, you know what, I'm sorry, I can't vote for that person. I can't. I voted for some local elections, but I couldn't vote for a woman. I can't. I can't do it. Feminism is the destruction of America. It is the absolute destruction of America. It is the destruction of the home. That's what it is. And for Christian men and women to support this, they're cutting their own throats. Because God says that these women doing that are blaspheming His word. You think about that. As you look at like the long list of people. As you look at the long list of women. Sarah Huckabee Sanders, that's another one. That's right. Look at all these women that are in charge or going to be in charge. Here's another one. So you need a woman to run your state. Right? So Arkansas is gonna vote in a woman. And why? Why not a man? Right, Michigan. Look at Michigan. There's no difference in Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Gretch the Witch. Right? Right? No difference. No difference in her. And the other one, besides a few principles, right? But these are the people that are in charge. Why are all these women? Why is it okay? Why is it okay? A doctor's not in leadership. No, I don't believe my wife should go out and become a doctor. But a doctor's not in leadership of the country. I don't believe women should go seek careers. No, I don't. We did fine with male doctors before. We did just fine with them. And half the things that they tell women that they need to do, they don't really even need to do. Half of the things. The medical industry just scares them into doing things. So all of these places, all of these states, women are on the rise. Women in where are the mothers? Where are the moms at home, home taking care of babies? Where are the mothers raising their children? No, they're going into careers. They're taking careers on. That's what they're doing. And people call them successful and they look up to them. Let me ask you a question. Do you want your daughters looking up to these women? Let me tell you something. If my daughter became the vice president of the nation, I would consider myself the biggest failure in the world. If my daughter became an engineer, if she became a doctor, if she became a lawyer, if she became anything but what God made her to be, that is a keeper at home, and that is the wife to her husband and the mother to her children, then I will have failed. If any five of those girls do any of those things, I will consider it that I have failed in some way. Now, they have their own free will, and they're going to do what they want to do. But success for a woman is not determined by upward mobility and in career. That is not what you... By the way, but you know what fundamentalists have done? You know what all these... And I'm talking... I want to really hit home at the fundies. The Independent Fundamental Baptists. Let's take, for instance, PCC. All right, I'm going to make some people mad here. There we go. Ready? Okay. Undergraduate, dual enrollment. Look, got to show the women in there. Okay. We have taught our girls. We have taught our girls, Christian education has taught our girls that you need to grow up and have a career. And then you need to take care of your, then you need to, you know, pay your way. So we're going to show pictures, right? I'm not slamming any particular school, okay? That's not what I'm doing. I'm showing a philosophy that pervades all of them. All right? There's one right there. How about this one? We'll go to another one. Okay? Here's another one. Okay. We train Christians to change the world. Okay, so here's their curriculum. So what do they train them to do? Oh, go off and be career women. We're training them to be career women. Look. That's what they're all studying to be. They're going there to be career women. There's the fraternities. What's Christian schools have fraternities for anyway? Whatever. Anyway. Because they got to be like the world. We want to be the world light. West Coast. And then how about Golden State? Hey, here's another one. Right. So we're going to train them all to have careers. We're going to train the women to have careers and the men to have careers and right? We're going to train them all to have careers. But let me ask you a question. No, they don't, Jacob Allen. They don't like it at all. So then, Bob Jones University. Oh, my favorite one where all the actors are. Oops. I'm going somewhere with this. Bear with me. There we go. Bob Jones University. Accredited Christian liberal arts degree. Apply now. What are they training for? Careers. Right? Careers. They're training for careers. So let me ask you a question. Am I supposed to... Okay, here's another question for you. Am I supposed to... Ready? Am I, as a Christian father, supposed to train my daughters to grow up, have a career, and pay their own way? Question was, that's right, Fabian says, I'll take Breakdown of the Family for 500, Alex. You got it. Fabian got it. It is the Breakdown of the Family. No, I have no problem with a young man going off to college if he knows what he's going for and he's going to go make some money with it. If he's not going to make any money with it and he's getting a liberal arts degree just to bend his wrist and say he got one, don't do that. Go get something that's going to make you some money. My son, by the grace of God, wants to go to trade school to be a plumber. I didn't put that in. I put trade school in his mind, but plumbing's been on his mind for many years. Maybe he played too many Super Mario games. I don't know. But anyway, he wants to be a plumber. But I'm not training my daughters to go be plumbers. I'm not training my daughters to go get a career. I'm not sending them off somewhere to go get a career. Why? Because I have no Bible mandate to do it. I have none. I have no example in the scriptures to send my daughters off to, number one, provide for themselves. Here's what these people do. Christians, born-again believers do this. I know they're God-fearing people, many of them. Here's what they do. They raise their daughters like they do their sons. Oh, my son has sports? My daughters need sports. My son goes and gets a job when he turns a certain age? My daughters go get a job when they... Who says? Did you ever think about looking in the Bible? Did you ever once think, Dad, about looking in the Bible? Like, what's the Bible say about raising daughters? What's the example of the scriptures? What does the Word of God say? Is my daughter supposed to pay her own way? Is she supposed to earn her own earn her own wage? No, that's what I'm here for until she's old enough, until God brings a man along and she gets married. And then it's his job. And let me tell you something, and I believe this with everything in me. So I want to be clear with this. Very clear. There is absolutely no man, by God's grace, with much prayer, that is going to take my daughter if he tells me, right? If he tells me that, well, I want her to get a job and pay her own way. I want her to help out with the bills. You know what I'm going to say? Why don't you come back to me, you little squirt, when you're a real man? When you're ready to take care of my daughter as like a man does, then you come and talk to me, Billy. But until then, go suck your thumb in the corner somewhere else. Because you ain't man enough to take my daughter. Not at all. Period. Whoa. Yeah, and I have every bit of the biblical mandate to say what I just said. Every single bit of it. And if there were more men out there that would be that way and stand on the scriptures, maybe we'd see a generation of young men that rise up and say, you know what? I got to take care of my responsibilities. I got to be a man. I got to take care of my wife. I got to take care of my children. I got to be a man. I ain't going to send my wife to work to pay my bills for me. And amen, Fabian, that's right. Computer science is a great field to get into. Absolutely. Good for him. And I'm training the young men of this church. I'm preaching the Bible in the same way. You ain't ready to get married unless you got a trade and a way to make some money. And you're making it to take care of your wife. That's the way it should be. And by the way, let me say this, and I'm not being mean either. I'm gonna say this to you. The one thing I've taught my son, and I'm teaching my son, here's the thing. Don't be a jobber. Don't waste your life being a jobber. Don't do it. What's a jobber? Somebody that walks around flipping burgers or doing something that can't take care of a family for the rest of their lives. Don't do that. Don't be a jobber. You go find something you can get into that's experienced, that has trade capabilities, and something that you can provide a family with. Don't just mosey through life, finding a way through life. You get some direction, you get some ability, you get some knowledge and some understanding and learn something and make some money to take care of a family. I don't care what it is, but you get something. Like Luke did, truck driving. He went and got his CDL, driving a truck. Takes that CDL, he can take that with him anywhere in the country and make money with it. Anywhere. That was his dad's instruction. That was his dad's help through all that. To teach him those things and to guide him through those things. Same thing with my son. You become a plumber, you'll be able to work anywhere you want. And it doesn't have to be that. Computer science, I don't care what it is. But don't be a jobber that, and then complain about the fact that you make jobber wages. Skilled labor, if you're going to do labor, skilled labor makes money. Jobbers make nothing. And then they complain about the way people treat them. Well, you're a jobber. That's the way jobbers get treated. Right? That's the way you get treated when you're a jobber. I'm not being unkind. I'm giving you some good old hard facts about manhood. That's just the way it is, friend. Man, I wonder if I'm getting through to anybody. I'm making people mad at me. But men are the one. I'm not training my daughters. I'm not going to, and then fundamentalists say, every young man and woman should go off to Bible college for 1 year. Why? So they can get some debt? So they get a degree in eating ramen noodles and halfway starving? So they can get a degree in halfway starving? So they could build some dude's big college, big huge college, auditorium and big church, big mega churches and all those other things? So they could do that, so they could have a big old church and a big old college and everything else and throw all their money that way and work like dogs and slave and work 18 to 20 hours a week and to get into debt or barely pay off their debt and make no and save no money to see what God's will is for your life. Hey, I got an idea. Why don't you stay in your parents' house and serve the Lord at your local New Testament church as a man, work, or get into a trade school, figure out what you're interested in life, and then move on to that next point of doing something like that. Instead of wasting a bunch of debt, getting into student loan debt that somebody has to bail you out for. Because here's the opposite. I know guys that have gotten to $200,000 or $300,000 or $50,000 or $75,000 worth of student loan debt. And then I know the flip side of a young man like Luke who's able to go out, take a CDL, go make money, and he ain't got no debt. He's got money in the bank to prepare to buy a house and to do the things that he needs to do in the future. See the difference? So I don't buy into all this fundy garbage. This is why I'm not a corporate Christian. This is why I'll never be invited to any of these places. Because I disagree wholeheartedly with everything that they do practically. All their designs and everything. Because it leads to that female Christian politician. It leads to women being in leadership. Women not being in the home. Families being destroyed. And then what happens? What happens afterwards? Then they go preach marriage conferences. Then all these big colleges and big name churches preach how to have a happy marriage. We're going to preach today to you on how to have a happy marriage after our college has absolutely destroyed your children's lives and your futures and got you in all kinds of debt and put you through all these other things and all that other stuff. And now we're going to, would you like to have our evangelist come in and preach to you about how to have a happy marriage? Well, I'll come in and preach to them about it. I'll tell them how to have a happy marriage. Don't sabotage your family from the get-go. That's how. Case closed. Take up the love offering. I could use one right now. Ah! Stop laughing. Stop laughing at yourself. Stop it. Stop laughing. Oh, I love it. This is one of the reasons why God raised me up. I was never a part of their systems. I never fit in. When God called me to preach, I went through the local New Testament church. I got saved in the local New Testament church. I got baptized in the local New Testament church. I got called to preach in the local New Testament church. I got sent out from the local New Testament church. I didn't need their Bible colleges or their plans or their goofball things. I didn't need any of them. I didn't need a degree in practicing how to eat ramen noodles and starve myself half to death and my family. Wreck my marriage and everything else to make some guy up there in the college really rich so he can have big buildings and big churches and big auditoriums and millions of dollars and all this fancy stuff. So he could beg the governor of California not to shut his church down. And I'm kind of fired up today a little bit. Look, I just lost 6 people. I love it because it's more common sense than most of them will give you. It is more common sense than most of them will ever give you. They'll never do that. Somebody asked me if I have an Instagram. Yes, I do. I think it's connected to my Facebook page, but I can never figure out how to use Instagram. What in the world is that anyway? Never makes any sense. Okay, so then you have these, so what happens? They send their daughters off to these Christian Bible colleges, and these Christian Bible colleges have, you can be anybody you want to be. Now, they don't train them to be pastors. They don't do that. They don't train them to be pastors. They don't, but they train them in every other career. You can't be a pastor, but you can have every other career you want. So these Christians send their daughters off to these Bible colleges and they teach them feminism. Oh, they don't either. They teach them to be submissive to who? Oh, to the pastor and to this and to the ministry and their, I don't know, dorm mom or whoever else. Which none of that is in the Bible, by the way. So these daughters go off to these colleges. Right? Oh, and by the way, they get their MRS degree, right? Well, we have to go to Bible college to get a wife. Well, you wouldn't have to if all the churches didn't send all their girls off to Bible college. You wouldn't have to do that. If they didn't send all their youth away to build up some man's church somewhere. Right? Because that's what they do. Ooh, I've already hit that ladybug. That beetle is flying in here. Oh, I hope it comes by here. I'm going to whack it one. Right? You wouldn't have to do that if you didn't ascribe to feminism. All of these churches that support these Bible colleges are feminist. They're feminist. They teach feminism. They teach it. Well, how do they teach it? By training women for careers. Look, not every woman can be a keeper at home. Why? I realize there's some situations where you don't have a father or a husband to take care of you. Right? They don't have a father or a husband. I get it. And there's ladies in my church that, unfortunately, they don't have a father, they don't have a husband to take care of them. They have to take care of themselves for now, till God brings a husband along. There are necessities there. But there's a difference in being in direct rebellion to God, and having a husband, and having a father, and not submitting to that. There's a difference. There would be a difference in a father like me saying to my daughter in a few years, when she's 17 or 18. Right? And me sending off my daughter, oh, I think you need to go off to Bible college for a year. Yeah, I think you need to lead home. Really? Why would any man, Christian man, send his daughter off to a Bible college? To any college? Why would you send them off? Why would you? Now, I realize some people never knew these things. I get it. But let me ask you, why would you raise your daughters like a man? These are tough questions, man. They make people upset. I get it. They make people angry. All I want you to do is show me where you're supposed to send your daughter away and not take care of her. By the way, did you know that you were supposed to, as a father, from the Old Testament on, that a father, when he walks that girl down the aisle, he is actually vouching for her purity. He's actually saying that he's kept her. She's been pure. He's guarded her. And now he's handing her off to her husband. When he puts the hand of that woman, of his daughter, into that man's hand, that's what she's doing. That's what he's doing. That's the way that it's supposed to be. Well, how could I vouch for anything of my daughter if I've sent her off to somewhere else? Sent her off to Bible college, sent her off to the world, or just to the world. How? See, none of that is God's design. God laid out his design in the scriptures for the lady. And Satan has done his best to talk them out of it all the way. Satan has talked the woman into leaving the exalted and protected position. Do you know that feminism in America made women more vulnerable and made them targets? Women had an elevated class in society. Women had an elevated class. How is that? They were protected, they were guarded at home, they were provided for, and they were kept home and being the keeper at home and caring for the home, and they did not have to go out into the world and suffer the things in this world that a man was meant to suffer. Even people like Shafley, who I don't agree with everything, I think it's Phyllis Shafley, and others, I don't agree with everything they said. But what she said, why do you want equality? You're trading in an exalted position where society was designed after the Bible, where men would care for women. Which actually was an exalted and protected position. As the weaker vessel to be cared for. But when you change that, and you traded it in for equality, it was Satan's trick. Satan tricked you into seeking an equality that actually demeaned your whole sex. And it's the truest statement, one of the truest statements I've ever heard. Right? It's one of the truest statements ever. One of the truest ever. That all these women have actually left an exalted position that God had for them as mothers and wives and keepers at home. They've left it and traded it in for superficial, for an equality with man. And now men look at them like they're men. men treat them like they're men. That's not a good thing. So, basically what's been done now is, you have the, by the way, you know why the Christians have no problem with these female politicians in leadership? You know why they don't? By the way, I know pastors that support their daughters going into politics and being representatives and house leaders or senate leaders or governor or whatever. Pastors. It's because they treat men and women the same. And by the way, it's a sin. You see, before, the way society was set up before feminism took control, women were protected. Women were protected before society, before feminism. Before feminism, women were protected. Thank you. They were protected. Guess what now they want to do? Now they want to draft your daughters. Oh, you got to sign up for selective service. Well, let me be very clear. Over my dead body will my children die in the sand for your corrupt, wicked, vile, disgusting, warmongering, antichrist garbage. You can dig a hole to hell and throw everything in it if you think I'm going to give my children off for you people to go kill people in the sand somewhere. No thanks. Exactly what they want. So you have pastors that are support that, oh, my daughter or so-and-so is running for office. Really? Why don't you tell her to go home and take care of her kids? Here's the most foolish thing ever. Listen to me. If I, as a pastor, said, you know what, there's a real need in this community for a representative, I think I'll have my daughter run, because a woman can beat this guy. What message am I sending? Okay, check this out. So, there are 7 children in my family, so far. I have 5 daughters. If those 5 daughters grow up to have 7, 5, 6, 7, I don't know, maybe 10, who knows what God will give them. Maybe 3, I don't know. Who knows what God will give them. But if my 5 daughters, that's 35 children that will be influenced by the scriptures. Young men called to preach, young women called to be wives. What will that do? What kind of impact will that have? Well, let me ask you something. What has the impact been since mom left and decided that she was going to go be a career woman? Right? What has mom decided? What's happened since mom did that? What's happened since mom's been out of the home? What's happened since they've become politicians? Families are miserably destroyed. And they were talked out of it. And corporate Christianity, and I mean the independent fundamental Baptist kind, support it lock, stock, and barrel. these big name colleges, these big name churches, they're all supporting it. They all support feminism. Churches around the country supporting feminism. Nowhere in the Bible. And you have all these women now wanting to be on the front lines of battle, putting women into warfare. Women competing with men in the workforce everywhere. There's competition now. Instead of men desiring to defend women, now they're competing with women. Right? That's what they're doing now. Now they're competing with women. Now you've set men up to compete with women in equality. When before, women were a protected class. Mine still are. I don't put my daughters in positions like I do my son, in situations like my son. My son's learning to be a man. My son's learning to work hard and be a man. My daughters work hard. They work hard in the home, around the home. My son works hard around doing the manly duties and things that we have to do around our property. And man, he was down there digging this hole over here. He was helping me build a bridge down that way. And he was moving stuff and hauling stuff. And my daughters, what were they doing? Canning vegetables, canning food and making things for the winter and preparing things and taking care of the home and cooking and cleaning and caring. That's what they were doing. Being keepers of home at home, being keepers at home. That's what they were doing. But see, the devil knows that if you pull women out of the home, the birth rate goes down. The birth rate, check this out. The birth rate in America among white suburbans dropped considerably. Like, dropped so low that by 50 years from now, we're not going to have enough people. And why is that? Because they traded it in for careers. They took birth control and kept going. They abort their babies and they keep going. That's why. Our church has over 40 children in it. We have a small church. We're not big. We have more children than big churches do. I'm not talking about who they bus in. I'm talking about their own children. Their own children in those churches. And why is that? Well, because of what we preach here. We preach keepers at home that the word of God be not blasphemed. We preach that women ought to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. We teach the young men to be sober, women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Right? We teach the young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. We teach them in all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Right? Amen. Sarah had two twins. Praise the Lord. Or not two twins. She had twins. Praise the Lord. She had two girls. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad. I hope they're doing well. Sounds good. Congratulations. It's wonderful. We celebrate life. By the way, when you preach women, and when you preach against birth control, and you preach against Planned Parenthood and using birth control and all those things, guess what happens? People, husbands and wives have babies. They just start having babies. Everybody keeps having babies. And by the way, then they go to a church where they're not looked at. Well, you're weird because you have so many babies. Do you know how that happens, don't you? No, we're on 7. We can't figure it out. No, I think we're pretty good at it. I think we know exactly how it happens. It's like they hate children. And I hear their talk. I hear their talk. These people, these are fundamentalist Christians! And you know how to stop that, don't you? Yeah, I'm not trying to stop it. I'm not God. God is the one that has the power over the womb. God is the one that has the power over that. The Bible explains very explicitly how, and by the way, how this happens is just like we said. How do you come to a place of Christian female politicians that are rulers? Well, what does the Bible say about that? Isaiah 3:12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Look what it says about that. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Look what it says here. It says, children are their oppressors. Let me show you something. Let's remind you of something here. Let's see, where is it? Give me a second. Here it is.
That you might have your sins forgiven. God is well able to save the transgender. God is well able to save the sodomite. God is well able to save the fornicator. God is well able to save the virgin. God is well able to save the soul.
You get it on tape?
You can just listen. You can just humble yourself. God is well able to save the transgender. God is well able to save the sodomite. God is well able to save the fornicator. God is well able to save the virgin. God is well able to save the soul.
You get it on tape?
You can just listen. You can just humble yourself. Of Gadara hurt people. Remember that? But God saved the maniac of Gadara. God can save this young man who's obsessed with breaking people, obsessed with violence. If he's willing to do it in the public, what does he do to his family? If he's willing to do it to people in public, what does he do behind closed doors to his little brother and little sister?
I love Dick! Right!
What happens behind closed doors?
Right.
When you're willing
back
to be bold and violent in public,
no.
What's happening behind closed doors when nobody's watching?
Right.
But God's watching.
Right.
Because God is long-suffering. Because he's willing to make his wrath and power known. He endures. We have no desire.
Yeah. Back up.
You should have no desire to
Good. Smell it. Cheese. Back up.
Smell my ass.
You should have a desire
smell
to
back
ass.
Up. That's the third time. Back up.
Genocide.
You guys are sticking your hands in my face. You've already hit me one time. You better back up.
The Bible. And you're.
See? See, this is the children. These are the children that are their oppressors, right? This is who these people are. Children are their oppressors. And women rule over them. That's this verse. And as for my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. That's who they are. And these, by the way, and then you look at the Bible says that's a curse. It's an error that women should rule over them. It's a direct error from God's word that these women should rule over them. So how can any of these things, how could you say you're a Christian female politician when everything you are doing is the very purpose, the very place that you are in is elective and you're electing to disobey God and to become a politician and to rule? The very nature of what you're doing is against Scripture. That's so everything that they're doing is against God's Word. That Bible verse right there was Isaiah 3:12. God's original purpose for woman has never changed. When we go back to the beginning, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth. And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And the Lord God, it says here, and Adam gave names to the fowl, or and to all the cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. It does not say that Adam was lonely. But the woman was made for the man. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. They shall be one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Then we have the judgment in Genesis chapter 3. Remember, the woman was made for the man. See the verse I'm looking for here. Give me a second. Here we go. Look at this. I want to show you this. Because you hear this all the time. Well, man was so incredibly lonely. And because he was, God gave him a wife. No, man was complete. He wasn't without anything in that sense. God said it's not good for man to be alone. But it doesn't say he was lonely. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. Woman was created for man. That was God's way. Still is God's way. Still is God's way. God's design. How God designed it. But everything going on now, the feminism that is permeated in all the independent fundamental Baptist churches, in all the fundamental Christian churches, all over the place, feminism has completely taken over. But that wasn't God's design. Feminism is in direct rebellion to God. All of this, these female politicians are a blight on America. I don't care if they claim to be Christians or not. I don't care if they're pro-life. I don't care if they're pro-gun, pro-constitution, they say they're pro-God, and they believe the Bible. It doesn't matter. If you believe the Bible, then you follow it. And you don't violate it by the very position that you're putting yourself in. And then God's people don't violate it by supporting these people. Because that's what happens. God's people are doing that. That's right. I'm sorry. I don't know what your name is. Air Smear. I'm sorry. I don't know what that name is. But she said female pastors and politicians have high divorce rates, including conservatives. Yes, they do. And why is that? Well, because they're women being in charge when God never meant them to be in charge. I mean, imagine being like Todd Palin, who was a pretty tough dude, pretty tough all-around guy, and then your wife is like the governor. Your wife is like the ruler of the state. You're not submissive to your husband. Your wife is like is ruling and leading and being a man and out there forceful. Sarah, that's it. Okay, Sarah. Out there being forceful. Out there being bold and brassy and manly and man, listen, let me help you with something. Here's a good shock for all you feminists out there. And you weak little sissy men that follow them. Leadership is manly. Period. It's masculine. That's what leadership is. And when a woman stands up there and tries to be that, it is so foreign and ridiculous. It's foreign and ridiculous. When women try to get up there and act, leadership is masculine. It just is, period. That's the way God made it. Jesus, masculine. God the Father, masculine. Man, the head of his home, masculine. Leadership is masculinity. It is, period. And that's why women are not supposed to be in leadership. They're not built for it. They weren't made for it. And it is very unnatural and it is very ugly to see a bold, brassy, loudmouth woman. That's why Donald Trump won against Hillary Clinton. Because when you heard Hillary Clinton's screech attack, and then you heard Donald Trump talk, you were like, well, I don't want to listen to that woman for 4 years scream at me. I'd rather listen to Donald Trump than have that woman screaming at me. Yeah. You see it with many women that are in the public eye. It's unnatural. It's not feminine at all. It's absolutely against that meek and quiet spirit. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. While they behold your chaste conversation. Chaste. Pure from all unlawful commerce of sex is applied to person before marriage. It signifies pure from all sexual commerce, undefiled. Free from obscenity. Coupled with fear, a reverence and a respect, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. In that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Women are to wear a meek and quiet spirit as an ornament. There is nothing worse than a loudmouth woman. Which in the sight of meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. My wife does that sometimes. She calls me Lord sometimes like that. Man, you ought to see people. Sometimes they can't handle it. I know it bothers them. I'm sure it does anyway. Maybe it doesn't, but I'm sure it does. Even Christians. Also, like my wife serving my food to me. Like that's a bad thing or something. Right? Like that's a bad thing. I never asked my wife to call me that. Ever. I've never asked her to call me that. But that is a servant's heart. That's love. But also because of that, that meek and quiet spirit. It isn't really too hard for her to get anything from me if I need it, or if she needs it, or would like it. I mean, her needs are all met by the grace of God, but it isn't hard for her to, and it's not because I'm doing it because she's like that. It's just the spirit that God has given her. It's the spirit that she has. And then to a man, what that causes is a man to want to love his wife and care for his wife and provide for her and do the things for her that she would like. It's a reverence. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. But you see this meek and quiet spirit that a lady's supposed to have? That's in the home, that's with her husband, that's submissive to her own husband and everything like that. Now check this out. Here's the opposite of that. Here's the female politician. You ready? Most of them this is true about, by the way. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. That's most of them, by the way. But anyway, I digress. We'll go on to the next verse. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Yeah, she's not home. She's loud and stubborn. Here's another one. First Timothy 5. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Oh, so Satan can speak reproachfully? Yeah. That's why the younger women are to marry, bear children, guide the house. These things are all violated by female Christian politicians. All of them are violated by it. They violate the word of God. They blaspheme the word of God. They give occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. You want to get in trouble with a lady? Be a busybody in other men's affairs. You're supposed to be at home guiding the home. And by the way, lady, that includes you if you're off on the internet arguing with men everywhere. You can be a busybody in other men's affairs and your feet not abide in the house, and you can be a loud and stubborn woman on Facebook, YouTube, chats and everything else, arguing with men out there and being loud and stubborn and thinking that you're gonna correct that man and you're gonna get them right and you're gonna, you know, you could be about your father's business. You could be in your house doing what God has called you to do. Raising your children for the Lord. Loving your husband and raising your children for the Lord. There's nowhere in the scriptures where God Almighty tells a woman to go, oh, you go be a leader in the country. You go be a politician. I submit to you that all these female politicians are failures. And if they call themselves female Christian politicians, they are absolute failures. They are absolute failures. And they're not being Christian. Because feminism is a betrayal of Christ. Feminism is a blaspheming Christ. Feminism blasphemes the Word of God. It's exactly what it does. It blasphemes God's Word. It causes the enemies of the Lord. It gives an occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. God never meant for Christian, for you to raise your Christian daughters to be career minded. Never raised them, never commanded you to raise them to go out and earn their own keep, to pay their own way, to go learn to be a man and provide. If you don't have enough money, then you cut expenses. You don't send your wife to work. Or you go get two jobs and you make the money. I've already thought of the Proverbs 31 woman. And it has, and it's her husband's estate. It has nothing to do with, her going to make money on her own and provide for her family. She provides, she uses what her husband has. And by the way, if Proverbs 31 is an example of a woman working outside of the home as a career option, then it totally violates the rest of the study of womanhood all the way from Genesis to Revelation. So something's wrong. Either that text has a discrepancy in it, or your interpretation of that text is completely wrong. Because everything had to do with her husband's estate. And had nothing to do with her going off and working for some other man and working outside of the home and not raising her own children and sending her children to daycare and becoming some, and becoming somebody that, is a career-minded person. Nowhere. Everything, by the way, how did she have time to be a career-minded person when she was making clothes for her children? You know how long it takes back then to sew clothes? To sew up clothes and make them? You don't sew up and make clothes in like 10 minutes like you do with a sewing, or even, it takes hours in a, with a sewing machine. Let alone making them without a sewing machine back in the day when everything was by hand. Talking about just like having gardens and green beans and eggs and all that stuff and trading them for things and all of those things. It has nothing to do with being a career-minded woman and leaving your children at home or leaving your children, excuse me, to the government indoctrination centers to take care of. You're to train your daughters to be keepers at home. That's what the Bible says. And anything else, if you train them in anything else, Other than that, you're blaspheming God. It's blaspheming God. That's what it's doing. That's just the way it is. That's the scriptures. And when you look at that, when you see those things, then you understand it's all a myth of the Christian female Christian politician. All these people are violating scripture, voting for these women, supporting these women, and doing things that blaspheme God, that are in direct rebellion to God. And you wonder why our families are going to hell, our churches are going to hell, and because mom's out of the home, that you totally removed mom away from her God-given role, and you've taken it away from her, you've removed her out of there. And if women are having babies now, they're leaving them. They're leaving them for something else. They're leaving them for upward mobility. You know, most of these abortions and everything are due to career. That's what most of them are due to. It's career. They sacrifice their children, everything else, on the altar of career. All these women have done that, and they will continue. By the way, you can't be a mother and govern the state. You can't be. You can't be. Your children will be neglected. You can't lead a nation. You can't lead a government. You can't lead those things as a woman. You can't do any of that. And govern a state or any of those things and expect that you're going to take care of your family. You'll never be able to do it. Your most important job, like I said before, I'll say it again. All of these Christian female politicians are absolute failures in the eyes of God. They are absolute and utter failures. Republican, Democrat, whatever they are, they claim to be Christian, whatever they are, they are absolute. Why? Because they are not doing what God made them to do. God made them to be keepers at home, to be a helpmeet. That's what God made them to do. You will be successful. I know Elizabeth that has. She said feminism is so subtle it has sneaked into very good Baptist churches. Thus the churches have been weakened. I see no reason for a woman to go work part-time anywhere. There's women that make stuff out of their own home. They make things and sell them. There's nothing wrong with making things. There's nothing wrong with that. But if it takes your focus off of your family, if it takes your focus into another direction, then it's wrong. It distracts. These women, by the way, you will be a successful wife, Christian woman. You will be a successful Christian woman if you submit to your husband, serve your family, love your husband, show reverence to your husband, raise your children, guide the home, and obey the Lord in all things. If you finish your life and that's what you've done, then you'll be successful in God's eyes. You will be a great success. because you fulfilled the purpose to glorify God in the place that God puts you. You will, as a mother of your children, as a wife to your husband, as a mother to your children, you will have fulfilled fulfilled your place. And you will have been successful. Plain and simple. Teresa asked the question, what if no kids in work and a mother, what if no kids and wife work a few days a week like I do? Well, if you're asking what I believe, I don't believe that's in the scripture. If you have a husband to take care of you, you don't need to work anywhere. Your husband needs to take care of you. That's the biblical way. And your free time is to be spent helping others, serving your husband in your home, but also helping others. That's why the local church is so important. Ladies here in this church, obviously most of them are busy tending to their own children, but when they are, you know, when they're not, they're helping one other. Single ladies that are here are helping others, helping other mothers and being a blessing to others in the church and all of those things that God has given them, but not working a job. I don't have a female secretary at church. I don't have one of those. Right? The elder women have a, That's the way God intended it to be. There's something about sending a woman off to work for another man and in the world that changes their attitude. By nature, they have to survive. They give pushback. They give resentment. They give condensation. Not condensation, but they're condescending. They're condescending. They have a hard time submitting to their own husband. It creates problems and it creates drama in that marriage that should never be there. So sending her off to do those things creates problems in the church. In the home. Creates problems in the marriage. So anyway, I don't believe it's the way that it should be. It does something. It affects people. All right. If you got a question, I'll give you an opportunity to ask a question or to say hi. We'll play one song and then we're going to get out of here. Let's see here. How about this one?
I've learned to know a name I highly treasure. Oh, how it thrills my spirit through and through. Oh, precious name, beyond degree or measure. Oh, wondrous name of Him so kind and true. My heart is stirred whenever I think of Jesus, that blessed name which set the captive free. So much to me, that name still lives and will live on forever. doubting, then kingdoms will forgotten be. Through mist or rain, will be beclouded never. That name shall shine and shine eternally. My heart is stirred whenever I think of Jesus, that blessed name which sets the captive free. The only name through which I find salvation, no name on earth have meant so much to me.
Amen. All right, let's see. We don't live on our... Okay, Justin was talking about his situation a little bit. Luke gave him some good advice about looking into... talk to some trusted men, look into some career options. Mary shared her experiences. Yep. It must be very tough on single mothers to have to be the provider in addition to caring for the kids. Yes, it is. It's a terrible thing, to have to go through. And it's sad that they have to go through that. That's for sure. Anyway, so you all pray for one. That's why we have to pray one for another and pray for our ministry, pray for our needs to be met. As, boy, I'll tell you what, stuff just is not getting any cheaper, friend. It is just getting more expensive out there as we go. But the Lord provides. Pray for us, number one. Pray that the Lord would use somebody to provide for our ministry. If that's you, that'd be great. If you want to give to our ministry, you can give through PayPal. You can give at salvationpreacher@gmail.com. Or you can go to our sermon audio page, and there's the give button right there. As you can see on the screen, you click on there, you click on PayPal, or you can mail us something. Here's our mailing address, 1030 South Highway 3. And so those are that's there. Also, you can do Apple Pay, or you can do Venmo, or you can do any of those other groups and things that that are ways to give out there. Man, there's all kinds of different things. Coin, I don't remember what that one was called. There was Coinbase or something. Cryptocurrency, I don't remember what it was called, but Coinbase, that's it. That one, and then there's other ones that, you know, that are out there. Cash App, which I've never figured out how to use. But anyway, let the Lord lead you if God so does. I appreciate that, and also pray for us that maybe God would use somebody else. All right. I'm not sure about Friday, a broadcast on Friday yet. I'm just not. I'm tying up a bunch of loose ends, getting ready for hunting and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know if I'll do a broadcast or not on Friday. I'm just not sure yet. So, you know, we'll see about that. I'm just not sure what my daughter's birthday is on Friday. One of my daughters, little Charity, is going to be, man, is she going to be 7 or 6? I can't even remember. I don't even know. But that's what I'll be doing on Friday, too, and getting a lot of good things taken care of. So spend some time with the family and all that good stuff. So you pray for us that the Lord would continue to bless our work, and possibly I'll be back on there. And, boy, I'll tell you what, quite a few people tuned in on sermon audio today, so that was a blessing. We probably had 75, 80 listeners today on, I don't know about what was on the other couple, but... It looks like we We've had quite a few on sermon audio and YouTube, so praise the Lord for that. Anyway, God bless you all. I was right. 7. I was right. Or did I say 6? Maybe I said 6. I don't remember. Now I'm forgetting what I said. Anyway, all right. I thought she was going to be 6. Man, they grow fast. All right. God bless you all. Take care. We will. By the way, tonight I'll be preaching. Tonight is in 3.5 hours. I'll be preaching live on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. If you go over here, if you subscribe to our page here on Sermon Audio, you can get a notice when we go live. I'll be preaching live tonight in 3 hours. So it'll be 7:30 Central Time, 7:30 p.m. Central Time. I'll be preaching in the book of Acts. We're almost finished. Few more messages and we'll be done with Acts. Probably moving on to Ephesians. I don't know yet. We'll see. But anyway, God bless you all. Take care. We'll see and hear from you, Lord willing, very soon. God bless you. Have a good night.